Coming up on Encouragement Live, how do we handle disagreements between Christians over questionable things? Dr. Rex Rogers, president of SAT7, joins us to talk about Christian liberty. That's coming up on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically-based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, thank you for joining us here on Encouragement Live, live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. We're presented by Encouragement Communications, our mission to provide biblically-based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. And tonight, I'm delighted to once again welcome Dr. Rex Rogers. Rex is the president of SAT7, a great ministry reaching the Middle East and North Africa. Rex, I hope that we have you on the line right now. Hello, Rex. Okay, apparently, for some reason, we are still having the technical difficulties beyond our control, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk with my technical people, Brent Hawkins and Rodney Love, and this is one of those things that happens occasionally in live radio. Ask Rex when you get him on the phone if he has WhatsApp, and if he has WhatsApp, we'll dial him up on my phone, and I'll put it into this other little part of the system here, and we'll go from there. And in the meantime, yeah, we're going to give that a whirl. Our topic tonight, our premise, God expresses his moral will in his word. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In the meantime, in John chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer for his followers, Jesus says we are to live in the world, but not of the world. Then he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. So we are to be in the world, and we're to be one, united as believers. And so that's the bottom line. All right. Yeah, that's the one that we're looking for. We're living in chaotic times, though. Satan, who is the father of lies, is deception, sowing deception, and sowing division in the church. And sometimes spiritually frail believers often fail to fall prey to temptations and to our own weaknesses. We all get into that situation. Oftentimes, we judge one another over non-moral, often minor matters that we consider to be major. We disagree. Sometimes we divide into holier-than-thou groups, and we fail to show love to the world. We fail to show love to other believers with whom we disagree. We forget that the Bible says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Those were the words of the Apostle John in John 13, verse 35. The Word of God provides us with distinct direction on how to deal with disagreements, something called Christian liberty. There are several passages of Scripture that address this. One of those is Romans chapter 14, and we'll take a look at that passage. Also, 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Corinthians 10:23, and 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. If you just dialed in tonight, we are attempting to reconnect with our guest tonight, Dr. Rex Rogers. This is something that occasionally happens in live call-in radio. I'm Don Hawkins. I've been doing this for a number of years. Right now, we have a couple of technical people who are working on figuring out why one piece of equipment and maybe a couple of pieces of equipment are not working quite the way we think they ought to work. But if you just joined us, we will try to take some calls on our toll-free number tonight, which is 855-586-5433. Also, want to encourage you to take a look at the website sat7usa.org. The letters S-A-T, the number 7, and the letters usa.org. And we'll continue with Encouragement Live right after these important messages. Stay with us.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
Are you looking for family-friendly television or biblical studies with informative programming? Let me introduce you to CrossFlix. From children's cartoons to in-depth studies to inspiring music, CrossFlix is an ever-growing community of broadcasting developed for the family, now available for Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, Apple iOS, and Chromecast. Search through our on-demand library with a free trial. CrossFlix. Entertain. Educate. Inspire.
We are back on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins, and hopefully now connected with Dr. Rex Rogers using a different technology. Rex, are you there? Yes, sir. I can hear you now. You are coming through, let's say, loud and clear compared to what we had before. We've actually used a whole different application to get you on, and you've had some interesting technological challenges. The last time you and I were on, we had a great program on the prodigal son, and this time I want to ask you about the prodigal suitcase. I believe you had a suitcase that went astray. Oh, you did get it home today. That's a good news, and so I'm thankful that you did get your shall we say, your documentation and your bag and everything. It's one of the things that happens on travel, and one of the things that happens on live call-in radio is sometimes the equipment that worked perfectly last week and the week before last decided to take a hike this week, sometimes when some of your technical people are not there, you can't. I'm actually hearing him here, not coming in on the radio. Okay, well, we've got to continue with the program and try to figure out what's going on there. The toll-free number is 855-586-5433. So, Rex, what I want to ask you about is what causes divisions in the body of Christ? What is the greatest source of divisions that you're seeing these days?
Old, dead life.
You know, as I think about being a new creation in Christ, I think about the Greek word poema, which is found in Ephesians 2.
It does seem like that there are a lot of things that people come up with. I guess we would say lists of do's and don'ts. Is that a fairly common thing among Christians today?
Through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Mm-hmm. And then he says, we are his workmanship, his poema. And I did some research on that word, John, and it's amazing in the Greek version of the
Toll free number is 855-586-5433. Talking with Dr. Rex Rogers tonight on the program Encouragement Live. And so glad, friend, that you have chosen to join us. I want to encourage you to look at the website, sat7usa.org. The letters SAT, the number 7usa.org. And we are going to take a time out on the program here and share some information with you that we think will be of help to you. Then we'll come back and continue our conversation with Dr. Rex Rogers on Encouragement Live. Stay with us. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat 7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat 7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We are back on a technically challenged edition of Encouragement Live, but our technical team, including Rodney Love and Brent Hawkins, have been working on this to see if we could get Rex Rogers back up in a little bit better way. Rex, can you hear me now? Very clearly, you say? Okay. All right. Let me see how well we can hear you. What does the scripture tell us about living in a chaotic society?
And finish the race well. And so we come alongside them as an encourager, as a help, as a resource, wherever they're at, to help them just make it well through their entire calling they have from the Lord.
You know, it's interesting. Your ministry has expanded internationally as well, a number of different countries.
Right.
I had the privilege last month of spending some time in India and ministering to some 2,000 Christian workers in a leadership conference and sharing some things to encourage them to run the race and not give up. But there are a lot of people in ministry going through hard times who feel like giving up. How can they reach out to Renewal Ministries?
We'd love to just reach or have them contact us at renewalministries.org. That's our website. You can reach us there. Our email is there. Our phone contacts are there. And my wife, Lisa, and I would love to just hear from you guys and see how we can walk alongside you in this journey called life.
Boy, that's a great concept. Renewalministries.org.
Yes, sir.
All right. We want you to reach out to that ministry and be sure and include the word ministries. Renewalministries.org. Now, we're talking about who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. We've talked about we're a new creation, but there's even more to who we are in Christ in Scripture.
Oh, absolutely. There's, if we start reading the whole New Testament about how Paul talks about all the ways that we are new creations.
Yeah.
We are found new. We are,
for some reason,
we are the righteousness of Christ.
It's not... Oh, that's what we'll do. We'll put you live on a microphone. Brent, put him on speakerphone and put him right next to that microphone there. That's a brilliant technical suggestion, Rex. That's exactly what we're going to do. So now let's see if you can hear. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. All right. And okay. All right, Brent.
Not as loud, but... Clearly, that's what matters.
Not as loud, yeah, clearly. And I can hear you now. I want to go back to this question about Scripture in a chaotic society. That was a question that I had asked you when we discovered that we were having some problems.
Well, I'd say that God expects us to remember that He is in control, that He is sovereign. That's a great peace and comfort to us if we focus on it. God is never surprised, no matter how bad the situation may be, and we are to not panic, actually to trust Him, place our fears and anxieties in Him. He's our refuge. And then the other is that believers are called to be salt and light, and we sometimes say that light shines brightest in dark situations, dark societies, so followers of God are supposed to stand out as people of peace, and justice and righteousness.
And that's an important lesson for us to learn, that we are to be people of peace. I shared while we were working on connecting with you some of the material that you prepared in preparation for this tonight, especially from John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed for his followers and he prayed that they would be united. And a lot of importance there. I think about something that, as I recall, St. Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, charity, or liberty, but in all things, charity. Did I quote the right person there?
I think so. Sometimes they debate those ancient quotes, but St. Augustine, if he didn't say it, he probably said something pretty close.
Yeah, that would be good. Our toll-free number, we are going to try to get some calls in tonight, 855-586-5433. Dr. Rex Rogers actually with us on a live microphone in the studio here tonight because of some technical issues, but we're just glad that we can hear you. Rex, our topic is Christian liberty in turbulent times, so we probably ought to get a definition of Christian liberty. How do you define that?
Well, it's a biblical teaching. It's right there in the scripture. We can quote the references, but that once a person becomes a Christian, a believer, that God entrusts us with the opportunity and the responsibility to make decisions on how we live. He didn't give us a chapter and verse, you know, a command on everything we face. We have to apply the scripture in our lives, and he gives us the liberty, the Christian liberty, to do that.
That's important to recognize because, again, some people have a very narrow approach to Christian liberty. Some people have a very broad approach to Christian liberty. We've mentioned some scriptures, but I'd like, as you know, the three laws of learning, repetition, and you know the third one. So what are those key verses of scripture that reference Christian liberty?
Well, three of them can be found right in, I think the most important one's actually right in the book of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And he said this, I quote, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything." I think it's very important. We can get ourselves into what seems to be harmless hobbies that can take over our lives and affect our spiritual testimony and how we walk for the Lord, even though the thing itself may not be evil as such or wrong.
Yeah. You know, as you were giving that definition from that passage of Scripture, something came to mind, and that is our phones and the apps on our phones and things like Facebook and WhatsApp and TikTok and all of those other things. They may not be wrong in themselves, but they may not be helpful for us if we allow them to dominate us. Would that fit that category that you're talking about?
That's a good example of one that, and of course, you'd say television watching or anything that we do with our time that can get to a point it becomes, if not an addiction, it's addictive.
Hmm.
And we now know, of course, Americans are spending 5 hours a day or 7 hours a day looking at their phones, and you think of the productivity,
not
even thinking about what they're looking at, you know.
Yeah.
They could be looking at harmless things, or they could be looking at horrible things.
Very important issues tonight we're covering on Christian liberty, and sometimes the devil wants to make it hard for us to communicate a certain message. Rex, I can't help thinking that this topic tonight, and you and I discussed this earlier in the week, is a really important point for us to have understanding on in terms of how we are to relate to others and how we are to limit ourselves in certain areas. Would you agree?
Well, I think so. It's a process, again, of what the scripture calls sanctification, living a holy life, and as unto the Lord. And there are things that we can get ourselves into that, again, damage our testimony, become a stumbling block, the scripture calls it, to other people, or simply just dominates our lives, takes over. It's not It may be lawful for us, but it's not helpful, as the Apostle Paul said.
Very important to remember that. Again, the reference in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful. God has given us liberty, but not everything is helpful, and certainly things that dominate us would not be helpful. Rex, is this an issue among believers in the Middle East and North Africa?
I think it is. It may involve different activities. Most of what we have here in the West, they have there. But there may be some things that attract them that don't involve us. But they, they're just human beings. And as such, they can make decisions that are good for their Christian spiritual lives, or they can get into things that aren't so good. And then, by the way, this gets really close to home. It's in the home. It can involve things like food, how much, not what we eat, but how much we eat. In terms of our health, it can involve what we drink or not drink. It can involve what seems to be harmless games, activities like that. And it can involve boating. I remember my mother, when I was young, was very concerned about people who would buy a boat, not because she was against boating. She just said it invariably took people away on the weekend and they quit going to church. And it didn't happen to everybody, but some people made the wrong decision.
I've actually had members of churches I've pastored, I've had literally the same thing happen. They were faithful in church, coming every Sunday, very engaged, and purchased a boat and felt like, hey, we've made this big investment. We need to be out on the water Saturday and Sunday. And guess what? That's exactly what happened, and they caused themselves and members of their family to stumble. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the thing of eating and drinking. Romans chapter 14 deals in great detail with foods that were offered to idols back in the early church, and some people felt liberty to eat those, and other people felt condemned if they ate and condemned others who did. Talk about that.
Well, that's one of those, what we sometimes call gray areas of Scripture, or of life, where the Scripture didn't give a specific. Let me do a tangent here. It's very important and remind people that the Scripture was written for all times, countries, and culture.
Yeah.
So if God, through his agents here, his writers, addressed everything we face in life, we'd have a book that's 5 feet thick or more. So what God did was give us the essentials. He gave us non-negotiables, moral absolutes, like don't kill people. And then he gave us principles on how to live the rest of our lives and how to make decisions. And that's where we have to discern what is best. So people were discerning whether they should eat meat sacrificed or dedicated to idols and others who did not want to do that. And the Scripture says in Romans, as you quoted there, be fully convinced in our own mind, meaning not make up our own rules. It just means to think it through and know what the Spirit of God is directing us to do.
Very important words of wisdom tonight from Dr. Rex Rogers. Our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. We are not sure how effective our telephone system is going to be tonight, but we have figured out how to communicate with our guest. That's the most important thing. My thanks to Brent and to Rodney, who worked diligently behind the scenes to make that happen. And I want to remind you about the website, sat7usa.org. This is a tremendous ministry going out to people in the Middle East and North Africa using satellite television to communicate Christian programming, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and principles of Christian growth. They're also using technology and the internet, and people are communicating with them in that way as well. And we're just delighted to encourage you to check out that website, pray about having a part in that ministry, urge you to support them with your prayers and your gifts. Our number is 855-586-LIFE. That website, sat7usa.org. And we'll be right back.
There are only two ways that your affairs will be settled after you pass away: your way or the government's way. For anyone without a will or trust in place, the government will settle it through probate. So we must all ask ourselves, do I want the government to decide how my minor children get their inheritance and where my assets go, and then charge my heirs probate and court fees to make that happen? Or do I want to protect my family from probate and steward the resources that God has entrusted to me by determining how the assets that I leave behind will be used? Find out what you need to know and do to protect your heirs at a free webinar with His Faithful Stewards. This free webinar will discuss wills and trusts and help you understand it all. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and find the link for webinars. There's a place there under webinars where you can sign up. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com and the link to webinars. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
When you need their independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at RestorationSL.com. That's RestorationSL.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minrith, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And so glad to have Dr. X Rogers with us tonight. He is with SAT7, the president of that fine organization. And we are talking about the subject of Christian liberty. And Rex, you brought up two very important issues here. The fact that there are moral absolutes in Scripture, and Christian liberty applies to those. And then there's some non-moral life issues that we can get into. Would the Ten Commandments be a good place to start with moral absolutes?
Well, I think so. I mean, that's, we think of them as thou shalt nots or thou shalts, and as our, we'll use the same phrase, we would ignore those things at our own peril. I mean, God didn't give us those things to keep us from being happy or having fun in life. He gave us those things to protect us and enrich us and allow us to be the kind of servants that He created us to be and keep us out of trouble, to be blunt about it. But there's lots of other things that aren't referenced in the Ten Commandments that, especially in our society today, it's so complex and we have so many options and choices of things we can be involved in. We got to make decisions every day about what's good or bad for our attention and participation.
What are the most effective, ways to deal with, to make a decision on things that are, non-moral issues? You talked about, for example, watching television. And it's interesting because we're talking about SAT-7, and SAT-7 uses satellite television to reach people in the Middle East and North Africa with the gospel. But I can't help thinking there could be Christians in the Middle East and North Africa that become addicted to other kinds of programming, because obviously SAT-7 is not the only entity that's putting out, programming that people can get by satellite in countries like Turkey or like Afghanistan or some of those others. So they would have to make some decisions on that basis as well, would they?
Well, I think so. And in that sense, it's not that different from what, you know, is available to us. And again, I mean, you can get on satellite these days, you can get everything from news programming, the children's programming, to pornography or, crime shows that are interesting and crime shows that are grotesque and ungodly. There are programs, of course, that promote ungodly activity, certainly on the Internet, but also on television. So on each and every one of these, you have to make, it's like going to the movies. You're going to go to this bad movie, meaning immoral, or you're going to go to a movie that's engaging and thought-provoking and interesting and fun, but doesn't lead you down to into immoral kinds of activity and thinking. And so you have to discern. Yep. We have to make a decision.
And those decisions, interesting. When I was raised, there were certain, shall we say, rules and regulations for those of us raised in a certain background. For example, my mother strongly believed that it was wrong to read the newspaper on Sunday before you went to church. And she basically laid that down as almost the 11th commandment. And I've always wanted to check the sports pages and sometimes read the comics back in those days. There again, that's probably a non-moral issue, I would think, correct?
Well, it is. And I'll give you two or three other examples. I grew up in a similar family and time frame, and I'm certainly not making fun of my parents when I say this, but I wasn't allowed to play baseball on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that baseball was bad or evil or going to lead me down a wrong path. They just didn't want me out there making noise in the neighborhood because this was the Sunday and we should be quiet, reflecting on the things of the Lord. Hmm. And as a kid, you don't always understand that. You're 13, whatever, but you're being taught a principle, you know, that you can apply the rest of your life in a variety of ways. And, you know, there are Christians in their desire to live not of the world. As I said, they invent their own holy list. Remember the old thing in the 60s, hey, kid, get a haircut.
Yeah. whole, yes.
It became so symbolic of my youth growing up, or the old phrase, and I'm sure you've run into, you know, we don't drink, and we don't smoke, and we don't chew, and we don't go with girls who do.
Oh, yes.
That was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, silly way of applying. We didn't go to movies.
Yeah.
Are all movies bad? I referenced that a little bit ago. No, not any more than all TV shows are bad. But you ought to be able, as a believer, to say, I'm going to watch this one, but I'm not going to watch that one.
Yeah.
And you do that based on your understanding of the Word of God. You have to understand theology first. What does God say is right and wrong? You have to know the principles before you can apply them. And it says in Scripture there in 1 Peter, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need to know, no matter what culture or country we come from, is right there in the Word of God.
That's a very, very important principle. It's all in the Word, everything that we need, all the principles, and everything that pertains to life and godliness. I love the way you put that, Rex. Toll-free number tonight, if you have a question or comment, we will try to get you on the air if we can. Number is 855-586-5433. But I do want to encourage you to visit the website, sat7usa.org. Learn about this great ministry to the Middle East and North Africa using satellite technology, satellite television. And Rex, the most amazing thing about that is it doesn't matter what religious group is in domination in those countries. They don't have the technology to block the signal of Sat7 getting into homes, correct?
They don't. That's the amazing part of what indeed is satellite technology. It's literally satellites floating up there, beaming down to your television set. And everybody, poorest of the poor, in the Middle East, North Africa, have TV sets, just like poorest of the poor in the United States do, too, because it's an endless source of entertainment and information. It doesn't cost a lot once you get it to maintain it. And over there, they don't even have to pay for cable service or satellite service. They just hook it up and away they go.
Hmm.
So it's a huge impact. And by the way, illiteracy, meaning you can't read and write, is a huge problem and challenge still in most of the Middle Eastern countries, especially in rural areas, sometimes higher among women. And if you can't read and write, then there's the television. You don't have to be able to read and write to watch TV. So it's a powerful communication device.
And you're also using internet connectivity. In other words, people now are actually able to email you or to reach out to you through that kind of technology, and you're doing some interactive programming. Talk about that.
We do live programs because just like here, they're more engaging to people. People watch live programming more typically than recorded programming, depending on the topic. And then if they want to interact directly, they use, you know, in the old days, telephone was not very efficient. But internet is free, again, on things like WhatsApp. They can communicate immediately to our people who are there, our viewer response team, and we can interact with them there or interact with them on the air, or we can answer their question on the air that maybe 20 people sent us a question online. It's the same question, so we can answer it on the air for everybody.
And
so that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
There's not as many cell phones yet in the Middle East as a region in North Africa as there would be in Europe or in certainly Asia, Southeast Asia, or the United States. But it's growing rapidly, especially as you could predict among younger people. And the regimes that were against it for control reasons are finding it more and more difficult to suppress it.
And, you know, it's interesting. We had the technical problems tonight with a typical phone line and even some of the other technology. And right now we are using WhatsApp with an open microphone. Just for those of you who are technophiles who want to know how in the world we're getting Rex Rogers on the air tonight, I use that technology to talk with people in India where I've ministered, talk to people in Africa with that. I'm sure, Rex, you use this to talk to your people in the Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah, WhatsApp, another one that they use a lot, is called Telegram, because these, especially Telegram, maybe more than WhatsApp, they're encrypted, and it's more difficult for authorities that might not like what they're saying or doing in terms of Christian activity. It's more difficult for authorities to break into that or get to that.
Mm.
Safer than for the people to use.
Yeah, and that's certainly an important issue. You don't want your people coming afoul of the authorities because maybe they're growing in their faith. And when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about that. I want to come back to this issue of legalism because I think this is one of the areas in which there are a lot of issues that people need to get into the Bible, get into the Word of God, and deal with. Help us understand what legalism is and how we deal with it.
Well, legalism is usually, again, people who have and their desires to serve the Lord, and they've therefore developed a more stringent list of preferences, rules, if you will, to live by, which in itself may not be bad. I mean, if you don't want to have a TV in your house, fine. But you get into trouble, you get into legalism when you start judging other people who have TVs in their house. That's where you become legalistic. You're judging them based on something that God never said was something that we should judge others by, evaluate people. So legalism can be a problem, especially in the conservative church, because they, you know, it's their desire to be not of the world, but they forget that we're still in the world and God commanded us to go into the world. Just like those that we consider liberal or who don't care much about what God has to say, they sort of, they're really into the world, in the world, but they forget about being not of the world.
So you got extremes on both sides. And it seems like, you know, I go back to the quote that we attributed to St. Augustine, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things charity. And Jesus did say in John 13:34, that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's sort of hard to love somebody and condemn them for having a television at the same time.
There can be, and the number one hot button, at least for the last 20 years in the Christian church, I think, has been music, where everybody has a different point of view, a different taste, music, fine art, and as a result, you can really get divisiveness going in given churches about what style of music is considered appropriate or, quote, holy.
Yeah, we will come back and unpack that a little bit because that is a hot button issue. There are some people that believe that drums are of the devil, or if you have a beat to the music. But in reality, Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and all of those people, even in the Hallelujah chorus with Handel, you had a beat there. We'll come back and talk about those issues and unpack that with Dr. Rex Rogers. Again, the web address, sat7usa.org. We'll be back.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
The older people grow, the more important it is that they have savings that are not at risk in the stock market.
Here's an important warning from Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I've seen many people in their 50s that have all their savings still in a 401k or some other market-based account that is fully at risk of loss.
Roxanne and her team offer practical financial counsel to people from all age groups.
It could be that they need to start saving for the future in retirement, or maybe they've already done those things and they just need to be good managers of what God's given them and get their money to where it can grow well but won't be at risk of loss in the stock market. Or maybe they need to get a will or a trust in place to protect their family from the cost and stresses of probate.
You can schedule a free and confidential time to talk with Roxanne at her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Just follow the links on the website to set a good time to talk, or you may call the office to set a time. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com. And we are back on Encouragement Live with Dr. X Rogers talking about the issue of Christian liberty and legalism. And we are going to try to get a call or two on if we can. 855-586-5433. Rex, I want to come back to this issue of music because, as you said, this is probably the hottest of the hot buttons when it comes to liberty and legalism. How should we view this? Give us some insight.
Well, for me, it's a Christian liberty issue because nowhere in Scripture does God say, here is the Christian holy music. He said to be involved in music, to praise him with music, to worship him with music, you know, the cymbal and the lyre and the flute and all the things that mentioned in the Old Testament. But he never says what kind. And music has changed for 2,000 years in the Christian church. Most of us aren't singing Gregorian chants anymore, right, like we've heard this week at the Pope's funeral. But most of us aren't probably doing that in our churches. They used to. Some churches don't have organs, even though organs were at one time identified as the kind of church instrument. And every instrument, by the way, in 2,000 years, at one time or another, was denied by people who felt that they were too far, too much, too worldly. Now we got all kinds of instrumentation in the church. But it all gets back to what glorifies the Lord and, you know, what are our choices and what are our motivations in our choices.
Yeah, seems like also part of the issue here comes down to the lyrics of the music that we're singing. It may be the...
That can be true also. I think that could be true also. And sometimes it can be who's singing it. We had a Christian radio station with the university I was associated with, and one time I asked them why they took a certain musical artist off the air at that time. And the fellow running the station said, well, she's going through some high-profile spiritual issues in her life. Hmm. And I said, well, yeah, but that's not the song. And he said, no, but people almost can't separate what's going on in her life from her music right now. Doesn't mean we'll never play her music again. And he said, by the way, we wouldn't put Madonna on here if she sang Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And virtually all the pop rock singers have Christian music albums, Christmas albums out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're bad, and you might enjoy them in your home, but probably most churches aren't going to put Elvis on Sunday morning. You know,
well, I was just thinking about Elvis, and you know, he had got his start in gospel music, and certainly went a long way beyond that, and a lot of Christmas music too. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are dead, and again, not trying to take shots at Elvis or any other.
No.
It's just that music is always, because it's a fine art, there's always going to be a certain amount of discussion and debate. And I think that's healthy for the church as long as we don't get into legalism. And I don't think it's wrong for a given church to say, hey, this is the style of music that we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
We're not going to do praise bands and choruses off the screen. We're going to do the old hymns in our church. Fine. As long as you don't turn around and start criticizing others that don't agree with you.
And that's a very good point. And I've pastored churches in both kind of situations. I've pastored a church with mainly older people who are very comfortable with piano and with organ and with, shall we say, music off the hymnal and perhaps printed words for some people in a larger type font than they found in the hymnals. And I've also pastored a church where they had excellent praise band and they had stringed instruments. They had the keyboards, they had drums, they had, you know, all of those things. And again, music, all of that brought praise to the Lord. And I was certainly able to worship with all of those things and felt good. Now, if I said to somebody who said, the only instruments I'm comfortable with are piano and organ, you need to be exposed to more heavy Christian metal music or that kind of thing, I think I would be violating the principle of Romans chapter 14. And that principle...
Well, that's the thing. We get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah.
When we start judging others. And the other, by the way, hot button has been clothing.
Yeah.
Because clothing styles can become quite immoral and emphasize things that we ought not to be doing. And I always said the two issues with clothing is modesty and appropriateness. And if it's modest, I think, fine, wear it anywhere you want.
Yeah.
And then appropriateness. I have a swimming suit that I think is modest, but I wouldn't wear it to Sunday church. And that's just my, I don't think it's appropriate. But what if I had a friend who was a surfer and he died in the ocean and the funeral's on the beach and everybody shows up in their swimming suits because he would have wanted it that way?
Yeah.
I'd say, well, fine, as long as they're modest. You know? So, where you draw these lines. That's why they're called gray areas.
Well, and I've conducted a wedding on the beach. I've never conducted a funeral on the beach, but I have conducted a wedding on the beach. And quite frankly, most of the people there were dressed much more casually than most of the weddings I've performed in churches. There have been quite a number of those. And again, like you say, the appropriateness and, of course, the modesty issue is an important issue in all of that as well. I want to read this passage from Romans chapter 14, let you comment on it. Accept him who is weak in the faith, or his faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak only eats vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because the Lord is able to make him stand. So there's one issue, and that sort of goes along with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, another hot button issue with a lot of people is should a person be able to drink wine? And I have a man who's a good friend of mine for many years who asserted that Jesus turned the water into Welch's grape juice in John chapter 2. But I do not believe that's what the text is saying.
Yeah. With all due respect to that gentleman, I don't quite think that's true, but And it's true today that in Europe and the Middle East, there's a lot of believers who regularly will take what we would call a drink of alcohol or alcoholic beverage. It's not a big issue in their churches. It's not anywhere near what it's been in the West or in particularly the United States. And there's, as you said, there's disagreement among believers today. But that's where we come back fully convinced in your own mind. Why are you doing it? Use your own discernment. You might have your own preferences, your own convictions about this, but you don't label those on everybody else, because God didn't say specifically to do this. I have friends that regularly gamble. Mm. And, I mean, I wrote a book on this. I think gambling is very seductive and can suck you into a lot of bad things in terms of financial mismanagement and problems.
Yeah.
So for me, gambling is something you ought to stay away from. But, you know, they say, well, there's no 11th commandment about gambling, and there isn't.
So yeah.
You have to use your discernment again about, is this something okay for me or not for me?
Yeah, and I think I want to mention that book. It's available on Amazon. It's called Gambling, Don't Bet on It. Excellent book written by Dr. Rex Rogers. And again, you're not saying that you're condemning every person who gambles, just like we're not saying we would condemn every person who takes a sip of alcohol. Scripture does make it pretty clear that we're not to be drunk with wine, in which is excess. That's in Ephesians 5:18, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to mention, too, when you were talking about this a few minutes ago, that you get back to that St. Augustine quote. The point is love is charity. You don't want to do things that cause others who are weak in the faith or new believers or non-believers to stumble or drift away from God and the church. You know, you intentionally limit your liberty. Why? Christian love. And then you get back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the whole point. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So next time you're doing something and you're wondering about it, ask yourself, is this really for the glory of God?
You know, I think, Rex, it would be really good for me and for you to recommend to people to take their Bibles and make a note to read Romans chapter 14. And there's a great time to do this, and that would be after church tomorrow, because there is a mandate that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if a person misses a church Sunday because they have the sniffles or something of that nature, you know, that's a whole different issue. But I would encourage you to spend time worshiping with God's people and then take Romans chapter 14 and read those verses. I'm looking now, I think there are 23 verses in Romans chapter 14. And again, they're dealing with issues that were very important to Christians in the first century. What day do you work? It goes back to kind of what you and I were talking about, our parents on Sunday. We're not condemning our parents, but our parents had a different view about that, and they would be offended about that. But study that passage and ask God to show you what you should do, what you should not do in terms of yourself, what your conviction should be. Rex, I want to once again remind people to check out the website, sat7usa.org. Very important information there about the ministry of Sat7 reaching into the Middle East and North Africa. And remind us again of the three primary languages that you're ministering in.
We broadcast every day in Arabic and in Farsi or Persian. That's the language of Iran, and in Turkish.
And people are coming to Christ. People are growing in the faith. And again, we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider being involved in this ministry with your prayer support and your financial support as well. You'll be blessed, and God will use that. Rex, always great to have you on the program. Look forward to our next time together, hopefully with no technical issues.
Technology is great until it's not.
Absolutely. And thank you, friend, for joining us for Encouragement Live.